Hey, Save Your Powerhouse fam. As many of you are aware, in 2025, our theme is Equip the Saints for Ministry and Maturity. And we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul writes and talks about the ministry gifts of Jesus, or often called the fivefold gifts. We've been looking at the idea that the church operates best when there are five ministries of Jesus operating: the apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, the pastoral or shepherding, and the teaching streams. And so a healthy church has got five great streams flowing in it. And so part of our goal this year is to help you to identify what's the ministry grace that's on your life. What are you wired for? And often we can tell that by what fires us up, or where we've got fruit in our area, or maybe even if we're a bit frustrated that something's not happening. That's an indication of a ministry stream for us. And so we've been helping people identify, is it the apostolic? Is that your stream where you've got that sense of taking ground and breakthrough? Is the prophetic stream your stream? Where it's the focus is on worship, the focus is on prayer, on intercession, on equipping people through prophetic ministry to people. Are you evangelistic? Do you love reaching lost people and want to win people to Christ? Do you have the grace of pastoral stream, ministry stream? So do you love people? You want to make sure they're well cared for, they're well loved? Or is it the teaching stream? You love the word and you want to bring that alive to everybody. So one of the things we've wanted to do this year is help you identify where's the fire of God in your life. What's the ministry stream that we can equip you to go even deeper into that grace on your life? The second thing, and just I like to think of it like this, just as everybody has five senses, the church needs these five streams, but all of us also, we need to grow in maturity to become more like Jesus. That means that we need to grow in areas that aren't our ministry grace. So a mature follower of Jesus has a spirit of faith and breakthrough. A mature follower of Jesus knows how to prophesy and encourage and pray and worship. A mature follower of Jesus, they might not be an evangelist by grace, but we all need to be soul winners. We all need to care about lost people. We might not be wired as pastors or pastoral, but we all need to love one another. And you might not have the grace or gifting of teaching, but we all need to love and understand the Word of God and the themes of the Word of God. So this is our focus this year. Help you to discover your ministry grace, but also help all of us to mature as saints to become more like Jesus in all of those five areas.
So this is the teaching theme. And honestly, when I think of teacher, I think of Pastor Katie Haldane, because I've done Trash Your Bible. She's the co-founder of Trash Your Bible. Many of you probably have heard of that before, because she's preached here before, like I said in the video. And I've done Bible plans of hers, the balanced one. In fact, I've just learned so much from following her plans, because she brings it alive. But I want to tell you some things about Pastor Katie. Like, she is the co-founder of Trash Your Bible. She's a lecturer at C3 College. She holds a master's in theology, and she is so passionate about scripture and making it accessible and making it engaging. And if you've done any part of Trash Your Bible, I just fell in love with her, because she's so passionate. Like, every book is her favourite book. She starts off and she goes, "This is my most favourite book." I thought, yeah, you said that last time. And the next one, "Oh, this is like my favourite book." But that's because she loves the Word of God. She made it come alive to me. And I believe she will make the Word of God come alive to you today. Honestly, once you get a picture of who wrote it and where it was and what time it was at and what the customs were of that time, it is just, it makes it real. I would see people. I would see Peter. I would see, you know, it starts to, this is, they're not just words in a book. This is life, and it's real, and it's life-changing. So she's incredible, inspiring. She's going to bring the Word of God alive. I'd love you to stand to your feet and welcome Pastor Katie Haldane.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor Teresa. Thank you so much for having me. Just remain standing for a bit, if that's okay. Just honoured to be here. I have to say, you guys are real Christians. Driving past a beach like that and coming to church on a Sunday, I was like, let's just turn in here, shall we? I was like, how do you come to church on Sunday? But God is good, and I am very grateful to be here. But when you hear all of those things about a teacher coming to teach. I don't want you to hear a judgment or a condemnation. My job today is to bring you just slightly forward in maturity. That's the job of a teacher. Just to kind of go, let's just grow up a little bit in this area. So I'm going to pray over this session because I know that sometimes when you bring the Word of God in a teaching gift, it can be a bit ouchy. Do you know what I mean? It can be a bit, it's not like, oh, that was so amazing. It's like, oh, wow, that was like a chiropractic alignment moment. So what I'm going to do is just get the prayer to massage you until I crack you. So let's just pray. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this beautiful house and all that you are doing in this church. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your word, that it is living and active, that, Lord, it cuts between soul and spirit. It cuts between the lie of the enemy and it cuts between what the truth and lie is. And I pray this morning as the word of God, it will not return void. It will do and bear good fruit in us. I thank you, Lord, for an alignment of heart and a maturity as we come around your word today. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. Amen. Have a seat. Thank you so much, Benj. That was amazing. Kirsty, what a testimony. Oh my gosh, you are a walking miracle. And I just see God just using your testimony in every area, just in the pulpit and even every area, people that you meet. But you are a walking miracle and God has done such great things in your life and will continue to do great things. It's so incredible. Robin, I have to shout Robin out. She's going to hate this. Robin is Candace, Robin's daughter, and I have grown up together. And Robin is just, we were in the Blue Mountains last weekend, Robin and I. And we were hiking through the Blue Mountains and Candace, her daughter, actually got us to go on this hike. And I swear it wasn't a hike. It was a riverbed. It was like, there's no path. Anyone that go on a path, and I'm like, I'm thinking, oh, it'll be beautiful on a path. I'm climbing up rocks. I'm on the riverbed. And you know what song's going through my head? Just around the riverbed. And that's all I kept singing the whole time. Jackson, good to see you, mate. We love having you. Thank you so much for allowing us to have Jackson. He is my boss and just an incredible man of God. So I will do well today. First and foremost, Pastor John and Danielle, thank you so much for having me. I know they're on holidays, but what an honour it is to preach in this house. And Pastor Josh and Shekinah, thank you so much for having me. And Dan and Ebony in Melbourne, huge shout out. We are so excited to be live streaming to you guys. Dan, I have to say, I listened to your teaching last week. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I was walking to the gym and I was like, this is so good. It was so good. I love the teacher gift in you. So this vision for 2025 is equip the saints. So we're talking about fivefold gifts. So what it is imagine a kind of kingdom of God walking along and you've got the five gifts functioning in that kingdom of God. So what happens is the apostle's out the front and he's going, come on, break ground, let's keep going. You got the prophet hearing from God and saying, God's saying go this way. You've got the pastor just making sure everything is okay. They've got the first aid kit and they're running around. Are you okay? Need freedom ministry, anyone? They're the ones just taking care of the sheep and just doing all the things. And then they've got the evangelist that's going, come on, grabbing people from the sideline to join the kingdom of God. And then you've got the teacher, God bless us. We're the ones going, no, I think we should do it this way. No, I think we're the truth-ometers. We're the ones that are just keeping everything in line and not the most favourite of the family, let me tell you. I had to say when I did the gifts when I was young, anyone done the gifts survey? And I did it twice and I came out as teacher. So the third time I did it in Bible college, I decided to cheat. And I was thinking as a prophet, because I wanted to be a prophet. And I was like, okay, what would a prophet do in this gift? And guess what I came out as? Teacher. You can't fake these gifts. It's terrible. The reason I wanted to be a prophet was because when people announce that a prophet's coming, everyone turns up in their fluoro shirts. But when it's a teacher, I commend you guys for being here. So James, we're in the book of James, which really is, this is why we're looking at it. James has really got that sense of a teacher. He's not kind of coming in and pastorally just stroking you and you're amazing, you've got this. He's kind of like Dan said last week, he's poetically luring you in while slapping you up the back of the head. He's talking to you and saying, look, you know, your tongue is like this and it's like a ship. But what he's actually saying is, watch your mouth. So what he's doing is these beautiful, so when you read the book of James, you can read that it's a bit meatier. It's a bit heavier. So last week, Dan went through James 1 and the context. I'm going to go through James 2 this morning, faith and works. And then tonight, I'm going to do taming the tongue. We're going to have some fun with that. I'm preaching to myself, I'm just saying. And then in James, next week, we've got Ash from Melbourne preaching and Isaac. Is that right? Here. So they're going to do the James 4 moment. So open up your Bibles, guys. I'm going to just give you some context. Open up your Bibles to James 2. I'm going to meet you there. What I'm going to do is just set the stage for James, because when we do look at this book, there's a couple of things that you need to know in context. When people say to me, why did you do the Trash Your Bible website? I asked myself that when I was doing the videos, because I'm an introvert that gets nervous in front of a camera, and God called me to do videos, and I was like, no, that's not happening. 3 years, God called me, do videos, I need you to do. I said, no. Vicky Simpson prophesied over me, you're going to do videos, and I literally said to her, no. You need to stop. I'm not doing them, Vic. Because I'm an introvert, I would love to just sit and read the word on my own for the rest of your life. Anyone, introvert? It's like, I don't need to share this with anyone else. And then God said to me, I want you to start teaching. I want you to start doing it. So the Trash Your Bible website was birthed for people who don't have the time that I have to study. I rang my sister once and she said to me, I was talking about I'm just finished my PhD. And way back when I was doing my degree, I rang her and I said, do you know that the context of this letter of Ephesians, do you know there's a temple of talking about all the things I'd learned in Bible college? And she stopped me and she said, Katie, I don't know what day it is. I have 4 kids and I don't care what's happening in Ephesus. fine. And she said, look, could you just put it in a book or a video and I'll watch it on the toilet when the only time I've got to do anything. And I said, right, fine. I will do a video that you can watch in the toilet. So this is what the Bible Companion came out of. Good things come out of a big sister that's honest, right? The Bible Companion is really all of my study put into cheat sheets. Everything that I learned, put into author date background, things like that. But when we're looking at the book of James, and Dan had this incredible screen last week, and I'm going to throw that up there. When you are reading a book, really just engage with the context of that book. Don't just read it. Can I say, I would challenge you this year to go beyond just daily devotions or daily scriptures or daily verse a day. Really just start to engage with the Bible as a collection of books, because that's what it is. When you're reading the book of James, the stepbrother of Jesus, he didn't believe in Jesus when Jesus was alive. So when Jesus rose from the dead and appeared to him, he's like, well, okay, you've proven it. We're done. Imagine that moment. He's like, oh my gosh, everything that you've been saying is truth. Imagine that moment. Oh my gosh, we just literally put you in a tomb and you're out. You are reading this struggle of this man who's walked this path with this Jesus being his stepbrother. And then now he's come to the point where he's now the head of the church and he feels the weight of the responsibility to carry this ministry. You're also reading he's the head of the Jerusalem church. So remember, it's going to be very Jewish. What does that mean? We're going to have a bit of a wrestle with law. We're going to have a bit of a wrestle with understanding grace. Audience. Scattered church in Jerusalem, all his people have been persecuted and they're out there, so he's writing these letters. The amazing thing about this, guys, the amazing thing about the letters of the New Testament, if persecution didn't happen, there would be no New Testament. We get a little bit, oh my gosh, I don't want to be persecuted in Christian life, everything should be a blessing. But because they were put in prison, because they were persecuted, we have the New Testament as it is. What can God do in the midst of persecution that will bless a future generation? What? Now, I really want to focus on this, guys, as you open up to the book of James. What is he writing? When you read this letter, it is slightly meaty. Anyone read it and you're like, wow, this has got a bit like Romans. You're reading an essay when you're reading Romans. James has got this meatier because James is the Proverbs or the wisdom text of the New Testament. Okay? So when you're thinking Old Testament, back here, you're thinking Ecclesiastes and Job and Proverbs. They're kind of meatier things. They're kind of going to talk about your tongue. They're going to talk about being lazy. They're going to have you read Proverbs. They're going to give you practical wisdom for your everyday life. It's not just going to be, oh, you're amazing and everything will be great. It's going to be, let me get into the nitty gritty and mature you. This is what we have when we look at the book of James. Because way back in the Old Testament, what sometimes we don't understand is the prophets were a mantle that people would listen to, Isaiah, all these incredible prophets. The priest was also a mantle and something that was revered in that time, but so was the wise man, the teacher, the guy that would come in and be observing ants for his whole life. I mean, imagine that. I'm not going to observe ants. I'm just saying, praise God, I get to do wise men something different. But he's observing what's happening around him and he's coming out. That's why when Jesus, the three wise men visited Jesus, they were the highest respected of that time. They're wise men. Wise guys. I was going to say wise guys, but every time I prayed over wise guys, who loves the Stooges? I was like, they're the wise guys. My father has ruined me for wise guys. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. In the beginning of your letters, don't skip over these moments where they're introducing what sort of book that they're writing. Okay, lastly, before we jump into James 2, there's two overarching themes in James that I really need you to know. Because the teacher can seem quite harsh, but when you put it in the context, you'll understand why he's saying this. In James 1:4, it says this. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature. Say that with me. Mature and complete. Not lacking anything. That's the role of the teacher. The teacher comes up and says, I want you to grow up a little bit. The teacher comes. Nobody comes to counselling with me at C3SYD. Because you know what I'm going to say? Grow up. You go to Richard Forsyth, who's going to probably love on you and you're amazing. And you come to me and you're going to get the truth of the Word of God. You're going to get, no, are you reading your Bible? Have you been applying your Bible? Are you doers of the word? Are you? That's the teacher for that maturity. So the first thing, the goal is spiritual maturity. The second thing is he's concerned that the world is infiltrating the church. At this time in this culture, he's a little concerned that we're muddying Christianity. He's a little concerned that things are getting a little bit muddy in the church. And I know that because in James 1:27, it says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, which is so beautiful, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So you're going to hear one, spiritual maturity. But the second thing you're going to hear is integrity and purity. That's the goal of a teacher. When there's sometimes that the world starts to come in and we accept things in the church and the teacher's like, well, hang on a second, integrity and purity above all things. Hang on a second, we just need to measure that. All right, are you ready? James 2:12 to 26, I've set you up. Are you good to go, Melbourne? Let's go. We're going to sit in from 12 to 26. As I am reading this, I want you to imagine what you would do at home in your Bible study time. Because my job here today is not to just inform you. My job here today is to teach you how to read the Bible. So as you are reading the Bible and you're reading chunks of the Bible, that's why I've done 12 to 26. The first thing that you notice is the words that jump out at you. So you start to circle and highlight words that jump out at you. The second thing that you notice is if they repeat something like Paul does, get the hint, that's the big point. If Stephen Furtick can say his title 22 times in a message, he's trying to get his point across. So if it's repeated, you just kind of underline that as well. So James 2, 12 to 26, speak and act. Underline those. As those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. That's new, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We're kind of basing everything, okay? So this is not coming as a judgment. This is coming to give you freedom. This is coming to give you mercy. He's saying you are better than what you are currently at. I want you to come up to how I see you. He's believing in you. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, keyword, but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. How are you going? But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works. That's key. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. That's the slap up the head. Did you feel it? It's like, come on in, boom. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? He's going into teacher mode. He's getting a bit passionate here. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? And he's giving you an example here. He's saying, you see that faith was active along with his works and his faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God. Can you see believed? And it was counted to him as righteousness and he was called a friend of God. You see again, and he's repeating his point, that a person is justified by works and not faith alone. One more point. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute? Because what he does here is he realizes that Abraham is a revered man of God. And he's like, okay, well, I could say, well, I'm not Abraham. It's like saying, well, I'm not Pastor John. And he's like, well, let me give you a less moral example. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. This is this beautiful moment where we are balancing salvation and works. And I think the church gets this very wrong. Can I be a bit bold? I think sometimes in the church, what us as Christians are doing is we are doing good works to earn our salvation. Doing good works to prove to God. I serve in church because I'm proving to God that I'm a good Christian. I'm serving. And that's an attitude of the heart that we can get. Even when we come in with good motivation, we end up doing things and preaching. And when God said to me a couple of months ago, I need you to take a sabbatical, I'm like, no, you love me when I'm preaching. I'm good when, you know, I'm your daughter when I'm preaching. It's like, I need you to just sit. Do you know what happened? I felt unloved. Because my works became the basis to which I was saved. Can you hear me? I started to mix up this idea of faith and salvation and the security and the identity of being saved and the security and identity of being loved by God and the security and the identity of having eternal life with earning it, with jumping back up on that cross because Jesus needs my help to save me. And he doesn't. I love hearing the word, let's do some quick geek word studies. Are you ready? Who loves word studies? Oh, the teachers in the room are like, yes, here we go. I get to pretend. I'm in my doctorate, I had to actually read Revelation in Greek. And I have to say, it was so much fun, but it was terrifying. Dan did such a good job last week saying a Greek word. I was like, yes, go for it. The thing about Greek words, Dan, is nobody knows how you say them correctly, so just say them. So faith, this word is faith, faithfulness, belief, trust. However, it has an implication that actions based on that trust have to follow. So I can have faith in that chair that if I sat on that chair, that chair would hold me. But that faith doesn't kick in until I sit on the chair. Does that make sense? I can have faith and believe that Christ and miracles and signs and wonders can happen. But when I desperately need a miracle, that's when the unction of my salvation kicks in. That's when the kind of power of it, and I love that moment. Works. The word works here is an outward action that expresses and demonstrates genuine faith. As I was praying over this message, I got this statement in my head that faith cannot be only skin deep. It simply can't be. It cannot be what you do on Sundays. You cannot come here on Sunday and Brother Bob and Sister Sue and praise God and amazing, and then Monday, you're a different person. And I get convicted by that too. If I get off this stage and I get to the airport and I start yelling at a person and then realize that person was in this church, ew! It's this beautiful, continuous thing that first and foremost, faith is shown by what we say and do. Do people know that you are saved without opening your mouth? Do your neighbors know that you are saved? We have Trash Your Bible things in our foyer, so they know that I run a Bible company. And then I get in the lift and I have a bad day and everything in me is saying, Katie, demonstrate Christ. Demonstrate him. I love it in James 1:12. Let's go back to the scripture. It says, speak and act. There's this beautiful moment that James is saying, immaturity in your Christianity, let it go beyond your lips. Let it penetrate your workplace. Let it penetrate your family. I love in Matthew 17:15-20, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but they inwardly, they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. I have to keep remembering that in my study, because I'm a PhD candidate, and I've actually just finished my PhD. I actually got passed in 2 weeks ago. So I'm officially Dr. Katie Haldane, which is just ridiculous, and that's never going to happen. But in my head, I am realizing that my knowledge is not going to be a demonstration and the only demonstration of my relationship with Christ. It has to be my actions. It has to be, I can't just say to somebody, well, the theology of good works is this. I have to actually be involved in good works. In our C3 SYD, we say C3 cares, don't leave C3 cares to C3 cares. Don't have a department that does good works. Have a culture of good works in the church. Have it in penetrating every area. Pastor Al said to me once, I'm not sure we need a C3 cares culture section because I want it in every connect group, in every person. I want people to see the fruit of their life. In Galatians 5, it says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Can you see that they're outward? Joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They're going to know you by these things. They're going to know you. Against such things, there is no law. They're not going to know you by how many scriptures you can quote at them. Even though scripture's amazing, and I'm a word girl, but Melbourne, they're going to know you because you act like a Christian. You love them when they need loving. Practical outworking of Christianity. So my second point is this. My first point, faith is shown in what we say and do. My second point is it's practical. Did you notice the example that James gives is not about praying for somebody, it's actually about helping somebody practically. Let me say it again. It says, can that faith save him if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Let me tell you a story. My grandmother, God rest her soul, she was the most divine Christian woman on the planet. She didn't preach, but she loved like no other. My grandmother lived just in St. Ives, and she was a matron at Sydney City Mission. So she took care of homeless people who were alcoholics. And our outings when I was a child was to go into the city and take care of the homeless people. And I'm not going to lie, I hated it. And I remember one day I said to her, Grandma, what are we doing? I don't understand. This is ridiculous. And she said, are you a Christian? And I said, I hope, yes. And she said, this is how we show we're Christians. This is how we show, by the outward works of what we do in practical example. In 1 John 3:17 to 18, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Am I challenging you a little bit? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech. It's not how much you shunder under. It's how much you go out of your way to help someone. But with actions and in truth. God has been challenging this in me because I'm an introvert, so I'm very in my own head. He's been challenging me to get out and take notice of what's around me and not just say, hey, brother, I know you're hurting, but I'll pray for you, but actually stopping and saying, what can I practically do to help you? Not saying to my neighbor, hey, I know a scripture, and quote it to them. Say, how can I help you, single mum? What can I do? We have Go Week at our church, and same thing with Go Week. We go out and we do all these things. But imagine the Pentecostal church having a culture of going out all the time. That we are known for this. This is what James is saying. I hear you doing all the right things. I see you saying and doing all the right things. But what I don't see is the demonstration of that when someone needs practical help. What I don't see is when somebody desperately needs you. I was praying over this message and God reminded me, do you remember when Lazarus was raised from the dead? And he's about to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. He knows, Jesus knows. He could have just gone in and gone, suck it up, all of you whingers, and stop wailing. I'm about to save the day. That would be Katie Haldane's version of you are so grateful that I am not Jesus. Because I'd be like, what are you doing, princesses? Don't you know the word? No, I wouldn't. Jesus is just like, yes, you would. But you know what he does? Which is just the most beautiful moment that we miss. He's about to go and do an incredible miracle. He's about to go and raise Lazarus from the dead. But he realizes around him is just grief. He realizes humanity around him is broken. He realizes that there are people around him that aren't blessed the Lord. They're shattered. And you know what he does? He doesn't go, suck it up, I'm about to do a miracle. He weeps with them. Have you read it? Why is he weeping? He knows he's about to turn it around. He sits down with them and he weeps. James is saying in this moment that your faith is demonstrated by your good works. Not adding good works to salvation, that's not what we're saying here. But we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone, amen, for good works. What is it that God wants you to do beyond Sunday? What is it that God wants you to do? Maybe you're in ministry on Sundays. Maybe this is what you do. But what's beyond Sunday look like in your life? Is there a single mum that desperately needs you to be hands and feet of Jesus? I'll get the band to come up. If that's okay. I just realised I went a bit Oxford Falls on you. Sorry. It's like, how do you have a... God has been challenging me with this. Katie, you know the scriptures. Katie, you know all of this stuff. But if I was struck mute and couldn't say a word, would they still know I'm a Christian? Francis Assisi says a great quote, and you probably know it. Preach the gospel. What does he say? If necessary, use words. There's a community in here and a community out there that don't need you to just say bless them. They need you to bless them. They don't need you to just quote a scripture at them. I remember, Robin knows this, but my dad died 5 months in May. And I've not been good at all. I thought I was doing really well. I was like, May, June, I'm amazing. I'm cruising through this grief thing. July, yes, I'm getting through. August, I just hit, I don't know what happened. Depression and anger and anxiety. And I wound up just in an absolute moment. And I didn't need somebody to come up to me and say, quote the scripture. I know it. I didn't need somebody to say, all things will work together for good, because at that point I didn't know whether they will. I didn't need somebody to come up and say, Katie, you know this. My beautiful uncle, who's a lovely Christian man, he goes, you know the word, just stand on it. I didn't need that. I just needed someone to come around me and hug me and say, you're going to sit down with me like Jesus did and say, are we good? Let's cry together. What good works is God asking you to do because you love him so much? Because we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And because we have this beautiful gift that God has given us here on the coast and in Melbourne, what does God want to do through you in good works? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you right now for your word. We thank you, Father, for this word in James that says we can't just be people of faith. We can't just be people who accept the gift of Jesus Christ and do nothing with it. I pray, Father, that we would be people who are demonstrating that beautiful gift in good works, taking care of the poor, taking care of the homeless, taking care of our neighbors, single mums. Lord, let this church be known for the care and love and the fruit in the community. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Thank you so much for having me in Melbourne. I'll pass it back to Isaac and Dan.